Well, Turkey says it will conduct a search of Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul for the missing Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi after Saudi Arabia granted Turkish police access to the consulate. Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi entered the Saudi Arabian consulate a week ago and, reportedly, never came out. Turkish authorities believe the 59-year-old, who's an outspoken critic of the Saudi regime, was killed inside that building. Saudi Arabia rejects those allegations. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia's key ally, the United States, is urging Riyadh to support the investigation amid fears the journalist has become the latest victim of a crackdown on dissent. Martin Chulov is The Guardian's Middle East correspondent. He joins us from Istanbul. Martin, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
So, Martin, what do we know exactly about what happened last week when Jamal Khashoggi went to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul?
We know that a reluctant Jamal Khashoggi went into the consulate on Tuesday afternoon at 1:15. It was his second visit. The reason for going there was to get divorce papers finalised. He had first arrived at the consulate on the previous Friday and told that his paperwork wasn't in order. He went back. He left a phone number for his fiancée waiting outside to call if he didn't reappear. He didn't reappear, and 4 hours later, she was in touch with Turkish authorities.
You were reporting in The Guardian today that security camera footage was removed from the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and that the Turkish staff were abruptly told to take a holiday on that day he went missing. But there is also in existence one still at least from security camera footage of him entering the consulate, isn't there?
Yeah, it's an eerie shot. He's striding with purpose to what he deems to be his destiny. He doesn't reappear. There's a black car just next to him. It's right at the consulate gate. And the Turks believe that that black car was used to later to smuggle him, either dead or alive, out of the consulate grounds. The footage that has disappeared is actually inside the consulate itself. There is footage on two gates, which is taken by a private security company. The Saudis don't control that.
Right.
And the Turks do have access to it.
Was there footage of him leaving through that gate? If there's footage of him entering, there should be footage of him leaving, shouldn't there?
Yeah, this is the operative question, and we are led to believe that there is footage of not him leaving, but certainly 15 Saudis leaving in a six-car convoy walking out of that gate carrying big, heavy bags. Now, what's led to the Turkish belief that Jamal Khashoggi is no longer alive is that none of these bags, according to them, were big enough to carry an intact body. They've also had some reports from inside the consulate that he was killed inside the building, and they've stuck very much to that story, that they do seem to believe that. It should be said, though, that this afternoon they did speak to a Turkish government newspaper, a pro-government newspaper, and floated a theory for the very first time that he might well have been abducted and put on a plane, one of two planes. One went to Cairo, then Riyadh. One went to Dubai, then Riyadh, and both had arrived from Riyadh that morning.
It's a very sinister story and a very sinister plot that the Turks are alleging. You'd have to say abduction would be a more likely outcome here if something's going to happen to this man than dismemberment and flying him out in different suitcases, which is a horrific thought. Saudi Arabia say it's all baseless. There's no truth to any of it. But as you say, now this security camera footage has been removed. I mean, it beggars belief that a consulate wouldn't have internal security footage. It is allowing the Turkish police in to investigate the consulate today, though. Is that right?
1 week after the fact, and I don't think there's any meaningful suspicion or belief that they're going to find him hidden away in a cupboard somewhere. The facts are that he entered the consulate and he didn't reappear by his own will. He didn't walk out. He hasn't been seen or heard from since. There was suspicious activity 2 hours after he did enter the building, showing Saudis who were carrying heavy bags and putting them in a six-car convoy. The convoy went 200 metres up the road to the consul general's house, stayed there for several hours, and then headed to the airport, three going one way, three going another. So something clearly happened, and the Saudis have a lot to answer for here.
There are reports that Jamal Khashoggi told his fiancée and friends he feared for his life. You mentioned he gave his fiancée his phone number to say, call if I'm not out. So that suggests he was a little worried about being called back to the embassy. But as I say, this is an extreme threat he faced. What is it about Jamal Khashoggi that he would pose such a danger in the eyes of the Saudi Arabia to the kingdom?
I think it's fair to say that he was probably the most high-profile dissident that the Crown Prince of the country, Mohammed bin Salman, faced. Jamal Khashoggi had been a member of the Saudi establishment. He had advised previous administrations, and a year ago he decided that while economic and social reforms that were taking place in Saudi Arabia, he has supported a crackdown on and political freedoms and any form of dissent whatsoever, he could no longer stand. So he arrived in Washington. He started reporting for the Washington Post, a very powerful platform, writing pointed, eloquent critiques of aspects of Mohammed bin Salman's reform program. The Saudis simply didn't like that. He also had access to their stakeholders in D.C. He was somebody who could mount a very clear, coherent case as to why many aspects of the reform program that the Crown Prince was carrying out were not sustainable.
Martin, just finally, I mean, the relationship between Turkey and Saudi Arabia, it's an extreme allegation for the Turks to make. It would be extreme action for the Saudis to take on foreign soil. What is the relationship between these two countries, and how much is at stake here? Are the Turks likely to back off? What happens next in this? And what does this do to Saudi's international reputation, Saudi Arabia's international reputation?
It's very interesting vis-a-vis the Turks. Both see themselves as regional power bases. They have a...
Martin? Hello, Martin.
Sorry, friend. They have a very delicate political accommodation vis-a-vis the region. Turkey is on the side of Qatar and partly Iran. Saudi Arabia very much opposed to both. In addition to that, they have trade and investment interests, and it does appear that the Turkish president Erdogan has been trying to leverage this situation with the consulate to the extent that he's been drip feeding things, but he hasn't been prepared to put his full authority to the allegations yet. The Saudis don't want to be embarrassed by this, not publicly. They don't want a daily drip feed of evidence that incriminates them. So they will want this to go away in some way. And there were signs that was actually starting to take place today when the Turkish government were walking back some of their allegations and they were closing down many of the sources who had been drip-feeding things over the past week. But in terms of Saudi's broader reputation internationally, they have an investment seminar coming up soon. It's the second, the first was last year, and there are substantial reports that there's been a big drop-off in interest in that seminar. It's meant to take place in late October in Riyadh, and there have been some cancellations. I do think that people are used to this this broad crackdown on dissent, but they're not used to this potent, calculated, sinister aspect to what they've seen in the last week. And I think that is starting to change the equation in people's minds.
And if this journalist doesn't turn up, if Jamal Khashoggi never turns up, it's hard to see how this story will disappear. Martin, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Martin Shulov, The Guardian's Middle East correspondent, reporting from Istanbul.